Thank you, Emily. Thank you, praise team. Aren't you thankful for the opportunity to worship? Did you hear me? Aren't you thankful for the opportunity to be able to worship? We can praise God together. Turn your Bibles, if you will, please, to the book of Exodus. We are finishing up looking at the altar of incense, talking about prayer. Spent 3 weeks on this. And then we're going to take about a six-week break from the tabernacle. Didn't want to start a message next week that I couldn't finish, and then we're going to be on vacation for a couple Sundays, and looking forward to getting away for a while. And then when we come back, shortly we'll get into Easter, so then we'll come back to our tabernacle series after that. We're talking about prayer. Every one of us as children of God knows that we need to be people who pray, people who talk to our Father. And yet every single one of us struggles with that. The distractions of the world, sin, discouragement. We pray and we don't see answers right away, so we quit. We need to spend time with our Father. We've been looking at a lot of things in relation to prayer. I'm not going to review everything we talked about. We just ended up last week talking about that prescription for prayer and the fact that as believers we need to pray in the name of Christ, not just tacking on his name at the end of our prayer, but coming boldly to the throne in the name of Christ because of who he is, what he's accomplished for us. And we are to pray believing, knowing that God does hear us, and that God does answer prayer in his way, in his time, and we're to pray in the will of God. We talked about the fact that's only going to happen as we know God, as we spend time with him. So let's move into our outline this morning and think about number 11, the perversion of prayer. The perversion of prayer. And after God had given the prescription for prayer, he warns in Exodus chapter 30, look at verse 9. It says, "You shall not offer any strange incense on this altar, or burnt offering or meal offering, and you shall not pour out a drink offering on it. You shall not offer any strange incense on this altar." So there is to be no perversion of the offering of incense. Anything offered other than what God had prescribed was strange, a perversion of what he had given, the instructions that he gave. Now, that word strange in the Hebrew means alien or foreign. Anything that wasn't in accord with what God had required and God's plan and God's instructions. Jesus, as he was talking in the New Testament, said, "Be careful how you pray." He says, don't pray using all these flowery words like the hypocrites do on the corner. They want to be seen and heard by men. They want to be noticed. He says, be careful how you talk to God. Be careful the attitude you come with. Be careful the words you use. You know, anything that is just to be seen is strange incense. It's contrary to what God desires. To simply read a prayer from a book because it's beautiful, when it doesn't come from our heart, it's strange incense. You know, it's not pleasing to God, and it's not relating to him who we are. You ever notice how some people get up in church? Don't do this. And they'll stand and they'll pray, and they are so conscious of the words they're using because they want them to be impressive. And they'll use those cliches that they've heard, and they'll use these high-sounding words that afterwards you got to go look up on your phone or dictionary to try and figure out what they're trying to say. And, you know, that's not pleasing to God. Is that how they talk every day? No. God wants us to be offering him our hearts and our minds. We'll get into that in a moment. But, you know, doing it just to impress others is strange incense. Praying to be heard by others and to be noticed and appreciated. Man, he did a great job. You know, that's strange incense. You know, it wouldn't be super impressive to Christy if our daughter Elle came to her and she opened up this flowery page that somebody had given her to bring her request to Mom. Oh, my dearest mother, that thou wouldst hear my required desires of my heart, and you would give in to the longings that I have so longed for all my life. You know, not going to get a lot accomplished. Yet how often do we talk to God like that? We try and be impressed and impressive, and it's strange incense because that's not what God wants. It's not pleasing to God. He doesn't desire it. He wants us to come with our hearts open, with our hearts bare before Him, just showing and sharing the longings of our heart. He isn't as concerned with the words we're using or the way we're coming as He is with what we're sharing. What are we coming to God with? Are we opening our hearts before Him? Is our prayer our own, prescribed by God, ascending to Him as that sweet incense? Any other prayer is strange incense, and it's forbidden by God. Don't even bother. Think about number 12, the prompting of prayer. The prompting of prayer. Go over to Leviticus, if you will, please. I want to look at a couple of passages in Leviticus. Start in Leviticus chapter 10. Don't have to go very far, okay? Leviticus chapter 10. All right, Nadab and Abihu. It says they offered strange fire to the Lord, and God killed them because of it. And so look at Leviticus 10, verses 1 and 2. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded them. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. All right, they're doing the right thing. They're doing it in the wrong way. They're sons of Aaron, the high priest. They have the right to offer incense. And we aren't told where they got the fire, but we're told it was strange fire. And God said, this is not what you are to use. They knew that very clearly. And because of their disobedience, God destroyed them with fire. Now, Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 12 says, he shall take a fire pan full of coals of fire from upon the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of finely ground sweet incense, and bring it inside the veil. All right, the fire that was used in that censer for burning the incense was to come from the brazen altar. And so that is the fire that was to be used to kindle the incense that was ascending to God as a sweet aroma pleasing to Him. Back in Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 24, then fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the portions of fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. We've already looked at that verse, and we looked at the brazen altar and said that was that original fire on that brazen altar came from God. And that original fire from God was the fire that they were to use as they burned incense as they came into the holy place, as they offered that incense before the Lord. And notice, as that fire came from God, it says they shouted, they fell on their faces. They understood. This is God showing us something important. Pay attention to it. And so when they saw that sacred and unusual fire, it brought an impact. They shouted, they fell on their faces. Now when Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53 that it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Men didn't put Jesus to death. He laid on Jesus Christ. God laid on Christ the iniquity of us all. He caused Him to suffer. It was the fire of God, that judgment of God that was placed on Him because of our sins, that consumed Him, that caused Him to die. And that's why He died. What should cause us to pray today? You know, they saw that fire. They fell down. They shouted. What should prompt us to pray? What should cause us to pray? There's a lot of people who say, well, I need to be in the right spot. So when I get to church, and I'm in that quiet place and that sanctuary and I'm around with people, that is a perfect spot for me to pray. If I have to rely on externals to be prompted to pray, something's wrong. If that's what it takes for me to pray, then I'm not in the place I need to be with my relationship with God. And that can very easily be strange fire. Probably the greatest motivation for us to pray is to think about the cross. Think about Jesus Christ. That fire, that prompting should be on our hearts when we think about all that Jesus Christ has done for us. And that's all the reason we need to pray. We don't need the external means. We simply need to keep close to the cross of Calvary. The Apostle Paul said he wanted to glory in nothing but the cross of Jesus Christ. If we glory in the cross, not just that little necklace around our neck or some piece we have on our wall or on a shelf, but if we truly think of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, it's all the burden, that's all the urge we need to pray. That's why the Lord's Supper is so crucial. That's why communion is so crucial. This do in remembrance of me. And we've changed our Sunday night schedule this year a little bit, quite a bit actually. And every time there's a fifth Sunday, we're setting that Sunday aside. We're going to have a potluck, so in 2 weeks, bring your food. We're going to have a potluck, and then afterwards, we're going to have a 1 o'clock service that is completely focused on communion. And because of timing, I can't even be there on this one, so Pastor Jordan has the privilege, and it is. And we may have more than just those four times communion, I'm not sure, but let me tell you my reasoning behind that. I grew up in a church where we had communion the first Sunday of every month. I've served in churches where that's what the pattern was, first Sunday of every month. Some churches have communion every Sunday. And as a teenager going through communion service after communion service after communion service, as a pastor going through communion service after communion service after communion service, for me it just felt like this is something we had to do. Something to tack on. And that's not God's plan. God said this is important. I want you to focus on it. I want this to truly cause you to remember what Jesus Christ did for you. And so we're going to make a concerted effort to focus on that. And so if we're not doing it enough for you, I apologize, but that's the reasoning, because I think as I study the scriptures, God takes this so seriously. We need to take it serious, and we need to be intently focusing on Jesus Christ. So in two Sundays, I hope you'll stay for that potluck time and then for that 1 o'clock service, and come prepared to worship. Come prepared to remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That should cause us to pray. You're not worthy, and neither am I. Yet he went to the cross for you and for me. When I stop and think about Jesus Christ, when I focus on the cross of Calvary, that is all the prompting for prayer that I need, is to remember what Jesus Christ did for me. Don't offer strange fire. Don't get sidetracked. Be led by the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit leads, pray. Number 13, let's think about the people for prayer. The people for prayer. When the priests went into the holy place to worship God, they were to put on a breastplate of judgment. We're going to talk about, in several weeks down the road, we're going to talk about the priests. We're going to talk about their specific clothing and everything associated with that. So I'm not going to get into that this morning, but just read a couple verses in Exodus 28. In Exodus 28, verses 29 and 30, says, Aaron shall carry the names of the sons of Israel and the breastpiece of judgment over his heart when he enters the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. You shall put in the breastpiece of judgment the Urim the Urim and Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. And Aaron shall carry the judgment of the sons of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. So in this breastplate, there were 12 precious stones engraved with the names of the tribes, the children of Israel. And the priests were reminded that as they go into the holy place, or that one time a year as they go into the Holy of Holies, they are bearing the names of the children of Israel upon their hearts. They were prepared to spend time with God. To get our prayers answered, we need to have people's names on our heart. It needs to be something we're passionate about. We have a desire. And, you know, how often in church do we pray, just Lord, bless the missionaries. Lord, if someone here needs to be saved, save them. You know, not enough people take advantage of the prayer service we have on Wednesday nights when we can pray for those people by name. And we can come with their names on our heart. That's how we're to pray. The priest was very conscious that the names of the children of Israel were on his heart. And when we pray specifically and individually with the names of people on our heart, we start to see prayers answered. A lot of times our prayers aren't answered because all we do is pray generally. God bless this church. What's that mean? God bless that family. What's that mean? What they may consider a blessing, you may not. Yeah, but when we bear the names of people on our hearts before the Lord, we're going to start to see some of those prayers answered. You know, it's one thing to pray, God heal the sick. It's another thing, even this morning as I spent some time in my office, I have a friend, missionary friend, who's going through an extremely tough physical time. And I just came into my office this morning and I prayed for Rick by name. And just poured out my heart before the Lord for Rick. Not just God bless him because he was a pastor, bless him because he's a missionary, but bless him because Rick is your child and Rick needs you in a very real way right now. You know, God's method for answering prayers is to have names on our hearts. You've probably all heard stories. I hope you have. I know I've heard time after time after time. Maybe it's a missionary around the world, or maybe it's somebody around town that somebody has just been woken up from God by God in the middle of the night with somebody's name on their mind. And they just pray for them right then, right there. God, I don't know why. I don't know what's going on in their life. You need to protect Joe. You need to provide for Joe right now. I don't know what's going on. And missionaries will share that at that exact same moment that you prayed for me, I was in a life or death situation and God intervened. Or that person across town was battling something right then, right there, and you prayed for them specifically, and God answered that prayer. Are people on our heart? Are those names on our heart? Do we bear them before the Lord? You know, that high priest came in, he was very conscious, I'm coming into God's presence with these names. I'm representing these people before the Lord. And he came to worship God. It wasn't just prayer that was uttered from a head because we should pray. It was uttered from a heart because those names were close to him. That came from his heart and those names were upon his heart. We're to bear the names of people on our hearts continually. Think about number 14, the preciousness of prayer. The preciousness of prayer. Whatever else it might be, it is to be, Exodus chapter 30, verse 10. Aaron shall make atonement on its horns once a year. He shall make atonement on it with the blood of the sin offering of atonement once a year throughout all your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. That's what prayer is to be. Most holy to the Lord. God loves to hear his children talk to him. You know, parents cherish the opportunity to hear their children. Think about it. You can't wait as a parent for that little one to start to talk. Then you quickly move into the phrase, I wish they'd stop. You know, God doesn't get there with us. He doesn't get tired of hearing us. He wants to hear us talk. The saddest thing for a parent is when they're not able to hear their children talk to them anymore. Because of death, maybe a extreme situation, they go to prison or something, and you can't hear their voice. It's not an opportunity you have, and it breaks that parent's heart. If it's that case for an earthly parent, what is it for God when we don't talk to him? He wants to hear from us, and how often do we take and understand the preciousness of prayer? He wants to hear from us. We have an opportunity to come to him. The Bible tells us this is most holy to the Lord. He wants us to pray. He wants us to talk to him, to know our burdens and our sorrows. It delights when we tell him the requests of our heart, when we're laid open before him so that he can do something about it. It says in Jeremiah, and I'm not going to turn to the passages, in Jeremiah 44, verse 8, it says that God was provoked because they were burning incense to other gods in the land of Egypt. And not only were they burning incense to other gods, it says in Jeremiah 44, 17 through 19, verse 25, that they were burning incense to the queen of heaven. And God got ticked off. He was angry because for them it wasn't holy unto the Lord. It was what was convenient in the land. To pray to anyone other than God himself is an abomination. It's disobedience to God because prayer is most holy unto the Lord. May that be part of our practice, that we understand the preciousness of prayer, that we understand the preciousness of prayer as we spend time with God. So there's no perversion in it. It's simply from our hearts. Years ago, I came across this illustration. So in a small Texas town, the owner of Drummond's Bar began construction on a new building to increase his business. The local church started a campaign to block the bar from opening with petitions and prayers. Work progressed right up till the week before opening when lightning struck the bar and burned it to the ground. The church folks were rather smug in their outlook after that until the bar owner sued the church on the grounds that the church was ultimately responsible for the demise of his building, either through direct or indirect actions or means. The church vehemently denied all responsibility or any connection to the building's demise in its reply to the court. As the case made its way into court, the judge looked over the paperwork. He commented, "I don't know what I'm going to do here. It seems I have a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer and an entire church congregation that doesn't." And we laugh at that, but how often is that the reality of our lives? I know the importance of prayer. How much time did you waste this last week doing absolutely nothing of consequence in front of a computer, a phone in your hand, in front of a TV, when you could have been talking with God? How much time did I waste? We know we're supposed to talk to God. Why don't we do it? God, help us. We wonder why God's not working in our churches today. We wonder why God's not working in our lives today. And we get so upset that prayer's been taken out of school. Prayer is supposed to be in our lives, but is it? We have that opportunity every day. Do we take advantage of that privilege we have to come to God? Father, help us to be like the disciples and come to you and say, teach us to pray. Help us to grasp the importance of prayer. Convict us. Convict me for those countless hours that I waste when I could spend time with you. Lord, may prayer be something that is a vital part of our lives. Lord, you want to hear from us. You long to hear the cries of our heart. Help us to get real. Help us to be sincere. Help us to pray. Lord, I think if we committed to spending more time with you, we'd see you do some amazing things. That verse, you have not because you ask not, that applies to every single one of us, time after time after time. Lord, help us to be faithful in prayer. And it's truly in the name of Jesus Christ who gives us the opportunity to come into your presence. So we ask these things.